One of the advantages, I suppose it's an advantage, of growing up in a day school or in a rabbi's home, as I did, is you hear a lot of bad Jewish jokes. And if you later on become a rabbi, at least you have a repertoire of bad jokes to inflict on your congregation that were inflicted on you. And a series of them, which you may or may not know, has to do with firsts in the Bible. Like, what was the first mention of tennis in the Bible? When Joseph served in Pharaoh's courts. I heard this in fifth grade. Or who was the first person mentioned in the Bible? Chap 1. Think about it. But I come here this morning to actually introduce you to a genuine first in the Bible that is an important one that most people, even people who know the Bible well, don't always consider, and of which they are not always aware. In fact, one Israeli writer, Meir Shalev, wrote a whole book about firsts in the Bible, and one chapter is devoted to this first, which is, when is the first mention of love in the Bible? And the answer is in this morning's Parsha. When God says to Abraham, Kachna et bincha et yichitcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and take him up to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. Which is strange in two ways. First of all, had I said to you, what's the first mention of love in the Bible? My guess is your first assumption is that it would be between a man and a woman. But in fact, it's between a parent and a child. And it's pronounced by God. God is saying to the parent, you love your child. It's not even pronounced first by a human being, but by God. And second, it is tied up with sacrifice. Not necessarily with intimacy or with lovemaking, but with sacrifice. With, in fact, the most difficult sacrifice by far in the Torah, which is a father taking his son up an altar to sacrifice. So I want for a moment, if we can, to forget what it is that Abraham is supposed to do. That is the subject of 1,000 sermons and more books. And just concentrate on the theme that the first mention of love in the Torah is bound up with the idea of sacrifice. Because if we realize that, then we will come to recognize that in our age of self-realization and self-fulfillment, that in truth, you cannot have love without sacrifice. That even though it is true that love fills up the lover, if in fact it is not a relationship in which you are willing to sacrifice something for the other, it is not a relationship of love. The Hebrew word for sacrifice is korban. When you bring an offering to God, it is called a korban, and korban in Hebrew means to draw close. In other words, when you sacrifice for another, you draw close to them. And you can't draw close to someone if you give up nothing to be with them. This is true of every relationship of love. Parent, child, lovers, spouses, friends, even community. When we talk about Ahavat Yisrael, lovers of Israel, nobody loves Israel if it costs them nothing. Every love demands something of you. And it is something in a certain way that is at the same time painful to give, because everything we have to give is painful in some way, or it wouldn't be hard to give, but it is also painless. I remember my colleague, Rabbi Larry Kushner. He and I were at a panel many years ago, and I don't remember anything else that was said on the panel, but I remember one story that he told. He said when his wife was pregnant with their first child, in the middle of the night, she turned to him and said, "Larry, I have to have a Snickers bar. I have to." They didn't have one in the house. It was the middle of winter, and he drove all around the city of Boston until he found, actually Sudbury was where he was, until he found a 7-Eleven or whatever that was open, and he bought the Snickers bar and brought it home. He said, but here's the thing that struck me after I succeeded, was that I didn't think about the fact that it was 2 a.m, or it was freezing outside, or there was snow on the ground. All I cared about was getting the Snickers bar. He said, and when the Torah talks about doing a mitzvah, that's the ideal. The ideal is you so want to do this for the other person or for God that you forget all the obstacles in the way. That's a korban. That's a sacrifice. Now, the strange part of it is that in some instances in your life, sometimes the sacrifice means staying far away from somebody if you know that your presence will hurt them. Sometimes it means drawing close, if you know that you will make their life better. But in some way, you put what the other person needs before your own, and that's a korban. Now, I want to tell you why I'm drawn to this theme this morning in particular. It's because today is my mother's 80th birthday. And so I'm flying tonight to Philadelphia on the night flight, because we're having this celebration tomorrow in Philadelphia. But when I told her that I was going to be taking the night flight, you know, when we planned all this, first of all, I was aware of the fact that she would understand, since she was the wife of a rabbi, that she has to make the sacrifice that I've got to be here on Shabbat. And it was my mother, after all, who told me, and I remember this, when I was a kid, she was the one who first told me the joke, and I don't remember what the incident was or what I wanted from her, but she said to me, "David, you know the difference between a terrorist and a Jewish mother." I said, "No, Mom, what?" She said, "With a terrorist, you can negotiate." But parental love in particular is a love largely composed of sacrifice. And I think that one of the reasons, and maybe the greatest reason, that parents love their children so fiercely is not because they gave birth to them, but because when you've given up so much for somebody, it actually increases your love for them. It doesn't diminish it. Because there's a korban that takes place, a drawing close. And so the Torah is very deliberate in what it's teaching us this morning. There are many lessons, obviously, in the Akedah, and interestingly, of course, the Akedah doesn't mean sacrifice. It means binding, as though the idea of sacrifice binds you to someone. But one of the reasons I am convinced that the Jewish people have this very tempestuous love affair with God is because we've given up so much for God. We've sacrificed so much. We have offered ourselves on altars again and again and again, which has allowed us to draw close. So this is it. This is the first mention of love, of that difficult, fundamental, joyous, troubling emotion that pulls people apart and draws them together, but always demands of the beloved that he or she sacrificed something in order for love to exist. I think that matters because generally, in our society, when we teach about love, we teach about what you get, but not so much what you give. The Torah comes always as a corrective to more superficial views of life. If you want to love, then first, you have to be willing to sacrifice. Under the chuppah, you have to give a gift. You can't be married without a gift because you must give something. Not before the other person loves you, but before you can love. It was true of Abraham. It is certainly true of Sarah. But I think that it's a universal truth of all human beings. The first time the Torah tells us what it is to love, it tells us what it is to give. So for all of us, in all of the relationships of our lives that exist, will exist, remember that you must take a risk and give something of yourself. Otherwise, there is no love. And we know that there should be, because the first time love is mentioned in the Bible, it's instructed. That was the buildup. One more time. The first time love is mentioned in the Bible, it's pronounced by God. Shabbat shalom.